Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States on 1150 AM. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful love and support and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular metaphysical talk shows in the Seattle area and in the world, with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank you so much for your beautiful support. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. It's so good to be back in the studio again. I've been doing lots of traveling the last couple of weeks in Peru and Los Angeles, and it's so good to be here. On today's show, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing my good friend Alex Collier, a contactee from the Andromeda Galaxy. He's an amazing fellow, and he's with me now. I also want to ask to send everyone lots of love and light and healing to him. He hurt his ankle here the other day. It's going to cast, but the cast gets off next week. And if you could send lots of prayers and love and light to Alex, I know it'll make him feel better. During the second hour, from 3 to 3:15, I'll be talking about my upcoming Galactic Wisdom Conference, which will be held here in Olympia, Washington, south of Seattle. I'll have a wonderful doctor named Dr. Jun Shimizu on. He's a naturopathic doctor. He does a lot of quantum healing, and he'll be on. And Alex will be one of the people speaking at my conference, so I'm so happy he'll be there. Following that will be an interview with Leon McLaughlin of the wonderful Clean Water Foundation, Michiko Hayashi, who's with me here in the studio of the Modal Peace Project in Tokyo, as well as Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Network here in Seattle, about clean water for the Hopi. We're still working on getting clean water for the Hopi. They've been drinking arsenic and radiation-contaminated water for the past 70 years, but we're getting water filters to them. Last year, or the year before last, a wonderful lady named Teresa donated $30,000 toward the purchase of clean water filters. But we're still continuing our efforts. There's lots of families who still need water, and also now we've expanded to the Navajo as well. I'll also be leading a group tour to see the Hopi from March 17th to the 22nd. We'll be visiting some sacred sites in the Hopi reservation, meeting with Hopi elders. And if you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, especially Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their wonderful support, as well as Minotti Lombardi for his wonderful support for a new Hopi library. I've been fundraising also for a new library for the Hopi. They have about almost 20,000 people on the reservation there, but yet with no functioning library. So I'm going to be doing that, as well as trying to get together efforts to build a museum for them as well. I'd also like to thank my wonderful friends Marion Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Jem in London, England, and of course Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who supported the show. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website and provides wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who support my show, and of course, KKNW and Eric, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. This month, I'm giving specials on my readings for only $50 for a full one-hour reading. If you'd like a reading, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Finally, my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held March 13th, 14th, and 15th, and I hope you can come. Among the speakers will be Alex Collier, who will be speaking in just a few minutes, Simon Parks from England, a famous ET contactee, James Redfield, the author of The Celestine Prophecy, Rex Baer of The Leak Project, Eric Rains, a fantastic energy healer from Salem, Oregon, Michiko Hayashi from the Modal Peace Project, of course, and many other wonderful people. The cost for the three-day conference is just $197. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. I'll also be going back to Mount Shasta twice this year, from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd. We always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying around Mount Shasta, And we've also been fortunate to have many miracle healings, including myself, whose eyesight was restored from 20/50 blurry vision in my right eye to crystal clear 20/10 vision in both eyes last September. If you'd like to go, the cost is just $200 per person, and just send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. In addition, this year, from May 17th to June 5th, I'll be taking a small group of people to Peru to visit some of the world's most spiritual places. We'll be visiting Cusco, Ollantaytambo, the Sacred Valley, the Nazca Lines, and Paracas, which has on the seacoast of Peru, which has a museum of hybrid human and extraterrestrial skulls, as well as meeting local Inca shaman. The cost is just $497 per person, with airfare and accommodations extra. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. And briefly, before I bring Alex on, I wanted to mention that tomorrow, on Saturday, February 22nd, both Michiko Hayashi and I will be at the Dreyer Masonic Center at 306 134th Street in South Tacoma from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. giving readings. And Michiko will be giving her wonderful Hado treatments, which should be great. Then on Monday, February 24th, from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. in Portland, Oregon, we'll be at the New Renaissance Bookstore giving presentations there. Finally, on 26th of February, we'll be in Ocean Shores at the Homeport Restaurant at 12 noon. And then we're going to Manhattan in New York. And March 2nd, we'll be giving presentations from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at the Long Island Buddhist Meditation Center. Both of us will be giving presentations. The Michiko will be giving presentations on March 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Shumai New York Center in New York. And then both of us will be giving presentations again on March 4th. From 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. local time at 201 South Kemp Street in Lyons, Pennsylvania. For more information, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Alex. Alex, it's been about my goodness, it's been 5 years since you were on my show. It's so good to have you on again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be talking to you again.
Oh, thank you, Alex. Thank you so much. Could you give out your website so people could perhaps find out more information about all your wonderful work?
Well, you can get, it's not my website, but you can get all the information regarding my life's work, and it's at Alex, A-L-E-X, Collier, C-O-L-L-I-E-R, .org. And there's an overwhelming amount of information there. This has been a labor of love for 29 years now.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I can't even believe it. It's gone by so fast, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I have to tell you, I learned about you back in the 90s through friends of mine here in Olympia, Washington, Alex, and I was so impressed. I saw a video that you'd given, I think it was in Beaumont, Texas, although I'm not sure the city in Texas.
But it was actually Bedford, Texas.
Bedford, okay, good.
Yeah. A American Airlines international pilot invited me to his house to do it turned out to be a two-day presentation. It was 14 hours, I think. Then it was VHS. We didn't have DVDs then.
Right. Wow.
You know, and we were still on pagers. There weren't cell phones yet.
Oh, how?
Email was brand new.
Oh, yeah. That's
uh-huh.
Right. That's right. That's
so,
right.
Yeah, that's how that got started. And just prior to that, I had done a talk somewhere, and, oh, my God, what's that magazine in Australia? It was very popular in the 90s.
Okay, the only magazine that comes to me was one I talked to the editor recently called Fate Magazine, but that's located in North Carolina. So
no, that's not it. Maybe it's not in existence anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But he published a magazine article about something, and it just it kind of took off from there. Those were pretty rough days. You know, we were bucking a lot of belief systems.
Sure.
And, you know, everyone that was in exopolitics, you know, you had your machete and you were hacking the trees and hacking the weeds because you were trailblazing.
Right.
You know, yeah. It was a very different time than today.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been a psychic for about 25, in touch with the other side for about 25 years, and I was warned by my foster mother back in the 90s, don't tell anybody you've got these abilities because they're gonna lock you up. And I was, I was an attorney at the time. The last thing probably a judge wanted in the courtroom was a psychic lawyer where they'd read everybody's minds and know the truth of what they were actually saying. So I kept it quiet. But now I've come out of the closet and I can talk about it. But anyway.
Oh, I was in aerospace.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was in aerospace.
Uh-huh.
I was installing lasers on military bases and mm-hmm. Putting them in aircraft and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was having all these experiences. But, you know, then it was just, there was no internet per se. Like I said, the only email was AOL, right?
Right.
You've got mail, and everybody was still on pagers.
Sure, right.
So I didn't have to worry about it.
Right.
But as soon as the, you know, YouTube happened, everything changed. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Everything changed.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I know you have a fascinating story to tell. You've been in contact with the Andromeda Galaxy. How did that start? And I know I'm already getting questions in. What's the Andromeda Galaxy like? Is it like
us? First of all, it's mm-hmm. the constellation of Andromeda.
Okay.
Okay, and it's around... It's a solar system that revolves around Mirage, and it's called Zenite. In English, that's what it would be. Now, they are fifth-density extraterrestrials.
Okay.
Their civilization is in fifth density,
mm-hmm.
and they are very familiar with fourth and third-density evolving life because they mentor other extraterrestrial races as well.
Wow.
What is it like? I've never actually been to the solar system. I've only been on one of their motherships
uh-huh.
or space stations. Mm-hmm. And in many, many respects, it isn't all that different than a landscape you would see here, with the exception of many of the children levitate. Their colors, their frequency band of colors isn't 72, it's 223. So they have colors there that we don't have.
Oh, my goodness.
So it took a very long time for me to actually begin to see many of the colors.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was first in their space, as soon as I come on board, I'd have to wear a belt.
Uh-huh.
And the purpose of the belt was to make sure that my atoms wouldn't... dissolve or explode because my physicality is third density.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs is fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to adjust my body. And what the belt does is it creates a field, an energy mm-hmm. field around me. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it simulates Earth's gravitational field so that I can be present with them, but my body doesn't know that it's in another dimension.
Mm.
My mind knows, obviously, and I know.
Right.
But my body doesn't.
Wow.
It's extraordinary. Mm. It's extraordinary. They mm-hmm. are a remarkable race.
Mm-hmm.
They have been around for millions and millions and millions of years.
Mm-hmm.
Their original place of origin was Lyra.
Okay.
And like so many others, including the Pleiadians,
right.
Their original point was Lyra.
Mm-hmm.
Because of a war and an exploding star, they had to migrate, which they did. And mm-hmm. that in itself is an extraordinary story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what their business here with Earth is, wow. Well, you know, why don't you...
Yeah, I know.
What would you want to know? Because you know, there's
so much. I'm asking.
There's so much, yeah. And the most relevant is what's going on now with our planet. You know, absolutely extraordinary things are happening. Even though the media would have you, believe that it's end of world.
Sure.
You know, biblical plagues.
Yeah,
it's the end of life. You know, all this stuff.
Right.
And they just refuse to tell people what's really going on.
Sure, sure. Could I give you a compliment, Alex?
Yeah, those are always welcome.
All right. Well, you have one of the most loving voices I've ever had on the radio, and I can just feel your love coming out. Do you feel that? Yeah, I feel that, and I that's how I wanted to tell you earlier. I don't know if my audience is getting yes. Yeah, we're getting some emails in. Yeah, you're definitely getting lots of love out there. So
I give good phone is what you're saying.
Yeah, you're giving good vibes out there. Yeah, so you're giving good vibes.
I give good phone.
Yeah, you give good phone.
I'll put
yeah.
that on my resume.
Yeah, put it on your resume. Yeah, yeah,
Good phone.
Yeah, I had a. I've been told the same thing, but I know that people are really enjoying what you're saying. I have to tell you, I've had a copy of your book called Standing Ground. My goodness, I've had it for 25 years now, 2025.
Defending Sacred Ground.
That's it. Defending Sacred Ground. Thank you. Defending Sacred Ground.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting story, how that came to be.
Uh-huh.
And it involves somebody up there in Washington, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
A guy contacted me and a friend of mine named John Robinson. We were putting out a little tiny newsletter. And he goes, look, I would love to help you. Can I transcribe for you, you know, some of your audios and videos that you have? And, mm-hmm. you know, I had, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years worth of stuff that we had put together. Most of it was cassettes. There mm-hmm. were maybe 7 or 8 videos, VHS. And, you know, we were relatively naive, and we were like, sure, that would help us out a lot. So we sent it to him. He ran a publication called the Leading Edge Research Paper, Val Valerian.
I remember that.
And 6, 7, 8 months go by, and I get an email from a nurse in North Carolina mm-hmm. who said, listen, I would like to buy the book from you directly. So I wrote her back, and I'm like, what book are you talking about?
Oh, my goodness.
And that's how we found out that he had taken the tapes and compiled them, and he was selling a book of my stuff, and we never knew anything about it.
Oh, no.
And we know we weren't the only ones that he had done this to.
Uh-huh.
We found out later.
Uh-huh.
So that's how that book came into being. When we finally got it back from him, we put a new cover on it,
mm-hmm.
and I've been wanting to rewrite it. It's just rewrite it, but, you know, life just gets in the way.
Sure.
And, you know, you start having kids, and then you don't have time, then you don't sleep at night, and then you're working 2 jobs.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
And it's just like,
right.
Wow.
Right.
So
right.
Then years go by.
Sure.
So, but that's the story of how Defending Sacred Ground came to be.
Uh-huh. Wow. Wow. So, fascinating.
And there are only 500 of them. And if you go to the website, for those of you who are even interested, you can download it for free mm-hmm. on the website.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to do some searching. I'm not exactly sure where it is, but it's up there.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you who have insomnia, this could help.
Oh, come on. It's still a good book.
Help.
It's still an excellent book, and I urge all my listeners to check it out, definitely, at www.alexcollier.org, and Defending Sacred Ground is the book. It's an old book, but it's got a lot of gems in it. One of the things, it's either from your old talk in Texas in the mid-90s, Alex, or in this book, where you talk about, a couple of things. One was that they were able to go into the future by 300 years, and they saw tyranny, a planet Earth that was no longer free, that humanity at that point was enslaved, and that started
Okay, well, you're
now.
Close.
Okay.
You're close.
Okay, all right.
They're 800 years into our future.
800.
If you were to put them on our timeline.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Fifth density is completely different than third, mm-hmm. the way it operates and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were on our timeline, they're 800 years into our future.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was tyranny showed up.
Oh, I see.
In fifth density.
Okay, wow.
And they weren't the only race who recognized it.
Okay.
So something happened, and what they did was they grouped together, and they went back in time to find out what was the cause. They went to fourth, Fourth density was having issues. They continued until they got to third density into our universe, or our Vidya, our holograph. And what they found out was there were 21 star systems in third density that were controlled by a group of AI reptilian extraterrestrials.
Okay.
And they were controlling these star systems. More importantly, what was interesting about this was that the beings that were in this star system, that were in these 21 star systems, their brains all had the ability to see fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth density.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of them had the ability to see 11th density.
Oh, wow.
Now, here they are stuck in third density, but the imprint of their soul on their physical body showed that they were very highly evolved souls. Okay, because they had the ability to see multiple dimensions.
Sure.
It was already in their third density physical imprint on their brain and their DNA. So what that means is that there is a symbiotic relationship between all life through the dimensions. What had happened was they were literally enslaving these 21 star systems, which stopped evolution, spiritual evolvement on all the higher planes.
Oh, wow.
Because where we go one, we go all. And that's how they found out about us. They didn't know that collectively soul groups from different dimensions were incarnating in third density. Which means that literally there's no time that you can have a life here, and then you can have a life in another frequency or another dimension.
Sure.
And then you can have another life in another dimension, or you could separate your soul or splinter it, and you can have multiple lifetimes in different densities all at the same time, simultaneously. It's nothing like what we've been taught by the religion. It's nothing at all like that.
That is truly amazing.
It's extraordinary. And what's interesting, you know, I've talked about this back in the 90s, 91, 92, 93, 95. Now, what's interesting is that in Switzerland in the last 4 or 5 years, a program, a study was done, and it's called the Blue Brain Project out of Switzerland. They were able to use an MRI and other technologies, which they merged together, to fully map the brain. And what do you think they came up with? Some people's brains can see five dimensions.
Oh, my goodness.
Some people's brains can see six or seven. Some people can see eight, nine, 10, or 11.
They literally
proved what the A's had said all those years ago.
It's the same thing they said. My goodness. My goodness.
And it's called the Blue Brain Project in Switzerland.
Okay. Interesting.
For your listeners.
All right.
It's remarkable. It's that's the imprint of the soul on the body. Okay, when your soul takes over a body, you create a holograph inside. It's an imprint, like a blueprint. That's who you are. We don't know it because you know we're sort of stuck in third density. It's so real, it's so slow, and it's so dense that. In order to really expand our vision, takes a great deal of work and discipline. But we're not really taught this. Now, many of the indigenous races knew this. Many of the ancient cultures knew about all this. But it got lost over the years through earth changes and catastrophes and or the enslavement of humanity through various means. And we lost that spiritual knowledge, that spiritual heritage, by intentional dumbing down the populations of the world. It's the same old story.
Yeah, what's continues today, but people are waking up. And, you know, I just got a message. Your work is so important, Alex, and it was back then and it is now for waking humanity up, because nobody in their right mind wants to be slaves to the system. They want to wake up. The planet right now is ascending, and many people are also spiritually waking up. And I'm so grateful that you've been so courageous to continue all these years. And I know it hasn't been easy on you, has it, Alex? I mean, you've faced some tough challenges.
It's cost me a lot.
Yeah.
It cost me a family.
Oh, wow.
It's cost me a lot of jobs.
Uh-huh. Sure. yeah.
I was homeless for 5 years, sleeping in a car.
I remember that.
Yeah. It's been quite the challenge.
Yeah. Those negative entities who try to stop you from their work, is their power declining now? What's happening with those entities?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of intervention that is occurring.
Good.
It's on all levels. Uh-huh. It's on the military side. It's on the Space Force side. Mm-hmm. It's on the spiritual side.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the oceans. It's underground.
Sure.
We have multiple dimensional beings here assisting, because out of the 21 star systems that I was sharing with you about earlier,
right,
the only one that's still under control of the dark side,
right,
and I don't know what else to call it, but this regressive group,
right,
is our solar system.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And everybody's here now making sure that this bunch doesn't get away.
Okay.
They had a chance to leave. They chose not to. They decided that they were, if they didn't have us control us, manipulate us, or own us, no one was going to. But that's just no longer working.
Right.
Because people are waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons why you're seeing this insanity on a political level.
Mm.
That's why there's this insanity that you're seeing with viruses and plagues. These are all been created to create fear in humanity,
right,
so that we lower our frequency, our vibration, by being in fear.
Okay.
Do you know what the Schumann resonance is?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
For 10,000 years, it was 7.85 hertz.
Right. Exactly. Right.
The new normal is between 20 and 30 hertz.
Wow. Amazing.
Oh, it is. And we spiked to 200. We've had several spikes to 400.
Right.
It kind of wigs people out. But what's happening is that the frequency is shifting. It's changing. And that's why so many people are awakening.
Right.
And wakening up.
Right.
It's because their DNA is vibrating faster. They're releasing a lot of fear, and what's happening is that their spiritual selves are awakening. Because their body, their DNA can hold more light, they can hold more of their spirit.
There was a French film I watched the other night called The Belle Verte, I believe it's called.
It's called Le Belle Verte.
Okay, it's a French film from 1996, and it talks about it came out in 96, Alex, but YouTube kept banning it until I think they gave up. It's on Vimeo now. You can watch it there, but it talks about people waking up and disconnecting from the televisions, from mainstream society, from the and it's a very interesting film. But it's an old film, but And you're getting help and protection now, right? Like you never got before, Alex, for your work?
Well, physical, physical. There is no monetary system in other dimensions.
Right.
So, you know, we're still stuck figuring that out. And that always makes things interesting.
Right, right.
You know, trying to do this work and, people just not being awake to it. Although it's getting better, it's getting a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
It was really bad in the 90s and the 2000s. But, you know, the last 10, 15 years, there has been an exponential increase in interest in not only spiritual matters, but space, extraterrestrials, the idea of dimensions, quantum physics. Physics itself is now proving the existence of dimensions. And it's a mathematical impossibility that we're alone. It just simply isn't possible.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, it's quite remarkable, and the history of our planet is extraordinary, and so is the history of the human race here on Earth, although many of us, on a soul level, have come from other places.
Right.
You know, we're all starseed, every single one of us. Even the life on our planet, many of the ocean life and life that we have on the surface, animal life, the animal kingdom, and insect, it was all brought here from someplace else and genetically modified to live here in this particular type of environment or a system, e-system, they call it. Octopus, you know, they have concluded that an octopus did not form on Earth. It came from another planet.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
You know, and these are oceanographers and scientists who have been studying Occupod. They're absolutely convinced there's no way they came from here. They had to come from someplace else.
Sure, right, right.
So, yeah, the story's remarkable. And, you know, it's a story that's 4 billion years in the making. You know?
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I have to ask you about this, Alex. Back in the mid-90s, I started waking up, and I heard that there was maybe you talked about this in your Texas speech, but there was a meeting of the Galactic Alliance or Galactic Council about the future of Earth back in 97 or 96.
Yes. Wow.
And,
yes.
Okay, you know about that. Okay, and there was actually a big debate about whether humanity on this planet should be saved or rescued or helped or whatever.
Well, that is correct.
Okay.
Wow, Ted, I haven't talked about that in years. No one's asked about that in years.
Well, I remember it.
There was a huge meeting,
right,
and it involved fourth and fifth dimensional beings.
Okay.
And one of the things that came up specifically was about our planet or our solar system.
Okay.
And one of the things that came up was, are they worth saving? Because they don't respect their home, they don't respect each other, they don't respect their planet. What is their value? Or they don't love themselves.
Okay.
They don't respect each other. They don't respect their planet. What is their value?
Wow.
That was the question that was put on the table.
Okay.
And what they were looking at was this was in the 90s,
right.
Well, our 90s. They were looking at the history of the planet. They were looking at all the wars, everything. And the thing that got them the most was abortion.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Now, I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm just telling you the perspective of other races.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is not a single civilization in third and or fourth density that practiced abortion as we know it for more than 120 years that survived.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
What happens is they lose their self-value and they implode. Those civilizations destroy themselves.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the single factor is the fact that they terminate their unborn young, and they do it intentionally. Hmm. And what happens is that they destroy future generations.
Oh, wow. That's very profound.
And I'm on the record with that in the 90s, and boy, that didn't go well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but now people are starting to look at that again.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there are circumstances where it's necessary, but it was never meant to be birth control.
Right. Exactly.
You know. Mm-hmm. And that's such a volatile conversation.
Mm-hmm.
to have, but this is the perspective of other extraterrestrial races who are millions and millions of years old, who have made all the mistakes. They have been through extraordinary trials and tribulations, and that have figured it out. We haven't figured it out. We've only been around about 125,000 years as we know ourselves. We still don't know our history, but we know. But as we know ourselves, we've been around about 125,000 years.
Sure.
And we're still making the classic mistakes. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about mentorship, about at some point when humanity gets over itself and decides to actually invest in peace and creating peace, that there may be an opportunity for mentorship where they would come, they would introduce themselves and say, look, guys, you know, here is your potentials.
Right.
These are all the things that you're capable of, that you can easily do. Here's what's in your way. You know, and just having an open, frank conversation about it.
Sure.
That council meeting, the benevolence, well, they're all benevolent. It's just that, you know, do we invest thousands of years into this race if it's not going to do any good?
Okay.
Fortunately, those who saw the potential of our humanity said, yes, let's do it. What they didn't know at the time, though, was that we were these very, very evolved soul groups from different dimensions that had been incarnating in third density. That's what they didn't know.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was a game changer, big time.
Wow.
Because they realized that part of our of the soul groups that were incarnating here were people from their own civilization that had not reincarnated back into their system, but had fallen back in time into third density physicality to have an experience here.
I see.
That changed a lot of minds.
Okay.
So it's a fascinating story.
Wow.
And there's no way to do it justice in an hour.
That's okay. That's all right. No, I wanted to touch base on that. There was also, I heard a rumor that, well, the reptilians, for example, a negative civilization, they can also time travel. And they had actually time traveled into the future and realized that collaborating with us humans, not in a negative way, but a positive way, would actually benefit them as well. And that has changed some of their attitudes. I don't know the truth of that, but that was something I heard many years ago.
No, that's true as well. That's very, very, very true as well. Unfortunately, they were not the ones in control.
Oh, I see.
Okay. You know?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
They were very, very nefarious groups. You know, one of the most difficult groups to deal with were the were some of the royal lines of the reptilian races, the Sekar, and the Archons, the AI biologicals.
Okay.
Because they can't reincarnate. They don't have soul.
Oh, really? Interesting.
No, they don't. Their whole point is existence in a physical form, or to transfer consciousness from one physical form to another, but they don't have soul. And many of the grays, the Zeta grays that first came here, their race was dying as well.
Right.
And the reason their race was dying is that they had suffered from a war. There was some physical damage that was done to their DNA, but what made it even worse is that they chose not to feel or to have compassion.
Okay, sure.
And soul cannot exist in a physical form mm-hmm. where there's no compassion or love.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they were dying, and then many of the abductions and those type of experiments were to see if they could find a way to transfer their souls into these physical, into human physical bodies.
Okay.
And in some cases it was successful, very few cases, but in most it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And what made it work was, from what I understand, that the few times that it did in fact work, it had to do with the lineage of the soul group that were attached to Zeta, to the Zeta 2 star system
mm-hmm.
that had soul.
Interesting. Wow. Fascinating.
But they had to find that out.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
I mean, you know, what's that old saying? I wonder as I wander through life.
Mm-hmm.
Every day's a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then we should look at life that way.
Yeah.
That it's a mystery. It's a blessing. It's always a discovery, an uncovering. It's, you know, we should never, ever take it for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that makes the wonder of life, what makes life so beautiful to be alive, frankly, if you remember that. Yeah, very, very profound, Alex. Thank you for sharing that. I wanted to ask you, I've heard before that all the governments in the world are controlled in some fashion by different alien groups. And the Chinese government in particular is controlled by some negative groups. I'd love your opinion on that.
Well, that was true at a time.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, that was very much true.
Okay.
That is not true today. Many of the countries are freeing themselves from this group because of the intervention that's occurring.
Mm.
There is a great deal of battles going on underground mm-hmm. where some of these deep underground bases were that belong to regressive aliens. There are groups fighting along soldiers here on Earth that are going into these nests, and that's what they refer to them.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of Dulce, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dulce,
okay,
the
well, just imagine about 50 of those all around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they've been cleaning out.
Wow.
And they're when they clean them out, they're destroyed, completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be inhabited again by anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's been going on. And many of the regressive groups left, but the hardcore group, they're still here. And, you know, they're the ones who control the military-industrial complex at the highest levels.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who are controlling the banking system
mm-hmm.
Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the royal families are connected to many of these alien groups,
sure.
these bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
But Earth is nearly free of oh. this infection, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word,
mm-hmm.
Which is why we're beginning to awaken, because the cloud is lifting and people are beginning to feel a sense of hope, a sense of purpose,
right.
a spiritual connection, you know, not only to themselves, but to each other and to life and to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening in subtle ways with everyone, and it's different with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, humanity itself is beginning to lift its fog that it's been in,
yeah.
and we're beginning to see things that we never saw before.
Right.
And that's all because of the elimination of this regressive group that was literally playing fourth and fifth dimensional chess with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were creating all these traps for us psychologically to enslave ourselves.
Okay, well.
It sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say it all on the radio?
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Not much worse, but it's Eric nodded his head. It's okay.
Okay.
It's all right. Alex.
I won't get any worse than that, I promise.
Yeah, promise. Thank you.
But,
thank you.
I mean, it's been a mother. And, you know, we're finally starting to come out of it. And with this help, we're going to get free. we're going to be free of this.
Right.
They're not going to succeed in rolling it back. They're trying to. They're pulling out their last stops with, you know, biological plagues and all of this. It's not going to be successful.
Is 5G part of this attempt to enslave some humanity?
You know, I don't know exactly. There's two sides to that story.
Okay.
There's a way to make 5G very broad spectrum,
mm-hmm.
Where it doesn't have the military capabilities,
mm-hmm.
and then it still has the military capabilities in some places.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All the technology we have on the planet can be used for good or for evil.
Sure.
All of it.
Sure.
It all depends on your intention.
Sure. Right. Right. And let's talk a little bit about the coronavirus. I've heard various stories that it's not as deadly as they make it out to be. I don't know what the truth is, and I'd love your perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's very difficult to know exactly what's going on because no one trusts what China says, the government of China.
Yeah, of course.
And unfortunately, in this country, you can't believe the media either.
No.
Hmm. And I talked about this today on my webinar. So let me tell you what I do know.
Okay.
It is flu season in China.
Right.
Okay. The United States has a flu season. Okay. North America has a flu season. There are flu seasons all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here in North America, it's very typical for 10,000 to 30,000, 40,000 people a year to die from the flu.
Wow.
Okay. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
China, it's no different. What is beginning to come out is that it is not so much the flu, which they're calling the coronavirus. 80% of the people only have mild symptoms.
Okay,
and we're getting this directly from Japan now. And some people do die from it, but it's the same in every country of flu season. Okay, some people don't make it,
mm-hmm.
For whatever their reason. But what's interesting is that what we're now hearing is that a biological agent was released, and it acts like Ebola. It melts people from the inside. That's the issue. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to hide the fact that they released this, whether it was on purpose or by accident, in China, and these are the people that they're locking up that have this agent,
mm-hmm.
that they're burning the bodies, cremating the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're telling the rest of the world, is that it's this flu to hide the fact that they released this horrific biological agent in China. Now, I don't know if it was intentional or not.
Okay.
Knowing the Chinese government, they'd never admit one way or the other.
Right. Right.
But they're hiding the fact that this is loose in China by saying that it's the coronavirus.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's what's coming out now.
Right.
Again, it's all open to interpretation, and it's open to change, because many of the people who are sharing what's going on in China, if they talk to the West, they're taken out.
Right, right.
So... you know, China, the Chinese government clearly has a very serious responsibility to deal with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they have to own it. So it may take a while. I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of things people can do, you know, nutritionally and the such,
mm-hmm.
to fight viruses.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most amazing things that will clear a house of all bacteria, pathogens, and viruses,
uh-huh.
is smudging sage.
Oh, really? That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. The indigenous people knew all this. They knew all this thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
That certain plants that you can smudge yourself with will eliminate this stuff. Now, there have been university studies on this, including medical studies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's okay to share this. But there's a website called unlimited-thought.com, and they have an online store, and that's where I buy my sage. But they have posted all these articles and medical studies and university studies on smudging. And it goes right down the line showing you these studies. Mm-hmm. If you were to smudge your house in 24 hours, your house is completely clean of bacteria, pathogens, and viruses.
Wonderful. My goodness.
It's amazing. Mm. You know, hospitals should be doing this all the time now.
Sure, right.
You know, but they use the chemical stuff. Mm-hmm. They use the pharmaceutical stuff, mm-hmm. which is, it isn't the real McCoy. It's synthesis.
Right.
They synthesize stuff, and it's never 100%.
Right. Wow.
You know? But, yeah, you can put in smudging. It's amazing. And that's something I do every day. I smudge the house every day.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
So, and when you go out into, when you go out into the public, you can put hand sanitizer, gets rid of 99.9% of germs.
Yeah.
Keep it in your car. Yeah. You can keep a little bottle in your purse.
Sure.
So that when you go out or you shake hands, you can put a little bit on your hand and just, you know, be very proactive as much as you can.
Yeah.
To protect yourself from, you know, whatever these idiots are trying to do to hurt humanity.
Right.
To save their own power
right.
structure.
Right.
Because that's all this is about. Sure. In the end, it's about power.
Sure, sure.
You know, we want to be free and they want to have power over.
Right. Exactly.
It's the old paradigm that's dying away. And, you know, here on our planet, we have this last vestige of beings who don't know anything other than controlling others.
Sure. Right. Right. I don't look at the Chinese government lasting more than a year or two at the max currently. That's what I've been told. They don't.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's very, very possible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? If you gave everybody two choices,
mm-hmm.
slavery or freedom, like you said earlier,
right?
Everybody's going to pick freedom.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, because sure. it's ingrained into us.
Right.
We're spiritual beings. We mm-hmm. want to be free
right.
because we were created to be free.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
we weren't meant to be trapped in physical forms forever and to live lives of suffering? That's mm-hmm. insane. Who would do that?
Yeah, that's right. Alex, we have about 3 minutes left, and I wanted to give you the rest of the time to focus on anything you like to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Wow.
Now, when I wanted to
had a senior moment there.
Yeah, okay, no worries, my friend. I want to tell you too. I've scheduled my second hour, but if any of our guests don't show up for the second hour, we'll call you back if that's okay. So,
well, I have to go grocery shopping.
I don't have
any food in the house.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. All right. Sorry, my friend. Okay. Go ahead. All right.
So, and I have two cats and a dog. And they let me know when they're not happy.
Yes, I'm sure they do.
You know, folks, whenever you feel yourself being overwhelmed, take a knee outside and just ground yourself.
Okay.
You know, just ground yourself in nature and just breathe and know that it's going to be okay. The major media, the mainstream media, many of the negative stuff that we're hearing, it's a psyop. Please know that it's a psyop. The entire intention is to lower your frequency, because when you lower your frequency, what you do is you go into fear. And when you go into fear, you isolate yourself. And then what happens? You become angry.
Right.
And that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They want us to tear ourselves apart.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to not connect back to source, because that keeps them in power.
Sure.
If we all connected to source, the frequency on the planet would shoot and rise so high, so fast, so quick, that they would have to leave. They would disintegrate. They couldn't live here.
Wow.
They couldn't be here.
Yeah.
And it's time for them to check out. It really is.
Right.
And if you know, look into this and you do the research, You know, in the 90s, everybody thought we were crazy. Now they don't. Mm-hmm. You know, now the Q team talks about this, the Space Force. Right. They know all about this. They've interacted with both benevolent and regressive out there in space.
Sure.
You know, it's all coming to fruition.
Wow.
And I have to tell you that the future of Earth and humanity is so incredibly bright and wonderful and so full of promise that that's what we have to focus on. And we should never, never settle for anything other than that.
Thank you so much, Alex, for coming on my show today. His website is alexcollier.org. Alex, I hope you have a beautiful and happy day. And also, everyone, please send lots of love and light so Alex will feel better from his ankle. Thank you so much, Alex. I look forward to seeing you next month, my friend.